Greer, we welcome you. Well, thank you, Don, and it's a pleasure to be here and to be with a group of people that are talking about things that are important, and things that are important in our society, in our life. As Don said, we've had a connection that goes back a number of years, and so it's always nice to run into Don, and we keep bumping into each other at different things over the years. And he was a well-respected person in Alberta Health until he decided to retire and enjoy life. So still well-respected, but in a different way. When I was asked to talk about today, I said, "Well, what am I going to talk about?" And so, with a bit of discussion with Jean Morris, she said, "Well, why don't you try and take a provincial picture of some of the things, and then maybe a bit of what Bethany's done, and then maybe why we're here today and why we should be concerned." Can you hear me? All right, this is coming through. I have the tendency to be known to be quiet in some speaking at times. I thought in terms of the provincial view, I had the opportunity as the past chair of the Christian Health Association to be at the health symposium this past week, and so I thought I'd give you a bit of some highlights out of that, and some of it you've maybe seen in the paper, and some you haven't. Essentially, there were about 27 people there from I think it was six or eight different countries, sharing their knowledge with Canadians and a number of Canadian authorities as well, but sharing their experience with about 450 people from the Alberta health scene, and quite a broad variety of people. But some interesting things distilled out of that, which I think it's worth sharing. Certainly, the issue of sustainability, as we think about it, and when I talk, and when we hear the rhetoric about sustainability, it seems to focus on dollars. And what came out of this conference was that sustainability has to look beyond dollars. It has to look at quality. It has to look at service to the clients. It has to look at values of the system. And so that was very interesting. It's also a worldwide issue. And there's no silver bullet. Lots of talk about things that we already know and solutions that we already know about. So how do we put those into practice? A lot of discussion about quality and the importance of quality and how do we get quality and what detracts from it. Lots of discussion about what are our values, and we simply can't pick up something from another country and move it into this province or into this country because of our values and our culture. But how do we take good ideas and look at them within our context? One of the comments, and in some of the more specific things, Senator Kirby has been involved in and will be publishing, he and Senator Keon will be publishing a report on mental health issues in this country. And mental health issues, as we heard this morning, being a significant challenge. His comment, which was quite blunt and to the point, is that we've deinstitutionalized mental health services over the years, taking them out of the old mental hospital sector. And we've now created the largest mental hospital in the world, in our downtown, in the downtown core of our cities, and on the streets of our cities. And that is not something we should be proud of, and it's something that we need to change. A lot of talk about health measures, measuring outcomes as opposed to inputs. An outcome, in a broad sense, being so is the population healthier. After we've done something, we tend to measure the things that are easier, things like how many people die, how much illnesses, or that type of thing. Or we tend to measure waitlists, and those may be useful, but they're limited in their scope. And we might be, and the example was given, we might be more efficient with hip surgery, and we might get people through faster if we get the right surgeons that are really quick at, you know, at cutting. But you have to look at what's the outcome of that. Does the person wind up with better quality of life, no pain, no disability, or are they simply going through and being quick? So quality is an important part of it. Evidence-based decision-making was crucial. And I think we've just been through a experience in this province which takes the evidence base and throws it into the political arena, and what comes out is a bit of a mishmash. And I'm talking about smoking. You know, we know that smoking is a major health problem. Cancer, heart disease, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we know from public opinion polls that most people would have supported a bill to eliminate smoking in the workplace. It got mashed into the political process, and what have we wound up with? Something that's not very satisfactory to anybody. So political will is a big issue, and that came out on a number of occasions. So how do we change political will? How do we change influence that political environment? Germany has an interesting approach in that all major policies in Germany are dealt with in a bipartisan way. So it's not simply the governing party. As the speaker said, and the speaker had been in the political side and was now in the administrative side of things in Germany, he said it's messy. It takes time. But ultimately, it provides you with policy that will carry on through the long term, not simply on a four-year cycle. And so, is there a way that we can push our politicians to do things in a more bipartisan way in this country? Coming out of the, and lots of other things that came out of it, lots of other things that we could do that would be simple, that would help us deal with resource issues. I think some of the other things that came out, we can never make the current system sustainable. The way we're living, the way the system is designed, and Dr. Swan was quite eloquent in this morning, that we'll always create more illness and disability than we can provide care for. So if we're going to stop the cycle, we have to get out in front. We have to stop the cycle out front. Promotion, prevention, at that point. Fraser Mustard, a researcher in Canada, has done huge work over the years in terms of the impact of early parenting, childhood development, parenting services. If you don't get kids in the first 6 years of life, you've lost it. I'm being a little dramatic, but that's the key time. If you're going to shape behavior, change behavior, so that's where we should be investing our dollars, in parenting skills, in early childhood education, in the resources, the social determinants of health, such as clean water, clean air, housing, food, employment, recreation, those sorts of things. In the early years of life, that will make the difference. That will make our system sustainable. The other thing that was interesting was the talk about privatization. And we hear a lot about privatization and P3s. And I'm not sure whether some of the government members would be happy with what they heard at the symposium, because the discussion, even those speakers that said maybe there's a small role for privatization, said it's a small role. It's specific and it's targeted and it's limited. By and large, the speaker said, and I liked Dr. Marmer from Yale University, said privatization is a zombie. And a zombie is something that's been clearly discredited, but it won't die. It keeps coming back and back and back. So in this case, in terms of privatization, I think we have to ask ourselves why it keeps coming back. Is it an ideology, or is there something else going on? You know, and I guess the something else going on is in terms of the profit side of things, and you know, the ethics of healthcare, the ethics of service delivery, and I think generally that we would all admit that we have some ethical and moral issues in government these days that the Gomery Commission is bringing forward, albeit limited. It seems to be limited at this point to Quebec, but you know, I think that's a question as well. Just a few things, and again, in terms of the provincial scene, to move off of the symposium, a few things that I wanted to highlight for the group this afternoon. Dr. Swan talked about the allocation of resources within the system, and he made the point that the allocation really hasn't changed over the last 30 years. We still spend an inordinate amount of money on our medical care system, physicians, hospital, and diagnostics. At the bottom of the heap are long-term care, mental health, and palliative care. And the ranking hasn't changed. And in fact, from my point of view, it's gotten worse. That mental health, long-term care, and palliative care have gotten increasingly squeezed down. A couple of other things. By 2025, our seniors population in this province is going to double, from about 11% now to about 25%, more than double. 60% of our seniors in this province, 60% of seniors currently have income of less than $20,000 a year. That hasn't changed. So 60% of our seniors in this province are eligible and get subsidized by the Alberta Seniors Benefit Program. 60%. The fastest growing segment of our population is the plus 100, and we expect it to grow. And the other comment I'd make is that we have some wonderful technology. There's a lot of discussion at the symposium on e-health and electronic health records and such. We have some wonderful technology in our health system, in the medical care system, in terms of MRIs and CT scans and PETs and drugs and such. Electronic health records in the hospital sector. Move out of the hospital sector. Home care, long-term care, palliative care can't afford to hardly buy a computer, never mind put a clinical system on it. So we have a huge disparity of resource allocation in this system at this point. We have 9 health regions in the province at this point. We have 9 separate health systems in some ways, because there is not a lot of coordination between the systems. And in fact, if you look at the 2 major regions, Edmonton and Calgary, I think you'd find that the administrative structure on both of those regions is as big as it was in Alberta Health pre-regionalization in 1993. So where are we spending our resources, I guess? I think the other comment I'd make relative to the 9 health regions and accountability is I think you will see tomorrow coming out the Auditor General's report on long-term care, and that is going to stir up things significantly in the province in terms of long-term care services, accountability of Alberta Health, accountability of the regions, accountability of providers. So it's going to certainly raise the profile of this part of the system. And as part of that industry, we've been advocating for a number of years that there needs to be changes, both on funding and accountability in the system. So with that kind of provincial look, I want to talk briefly about some of the things that Bethany has been doing over the last few years in terms of accountability, or not accountability, I should say advocacy. They start with A, right? Just a little bit of background. Bethany Care Society is 60 years old this year. It was started in 1945. A group of 5 Danish Lutherans got together and saw a need for service in the Calgary area. So it came out of a Lutheran tradition, faith-based tradition. It's a not-for-profit organization governed by a volunteer board. With the the goal of filling unmet needs in our community. And that goal continues to this day. So that's just a little bit of context. Within that, the board, our board and in my role, have a strong belief that not-for-profit voluntary organizations have a moral responsibility to advocate for changes in our society, to deal with unmet needs, to deal with emerging issues. And we strongly believe that that is a responsibility of voluntary organizations and a unique responsibility of voluntary organizations, because it will not happen from the public sector and it will not happen from the private sector. So the only other leg on the stool. As part of our, as part of this advocacy, then Bethany really got it. I think if you go back historically, we'd been doing some of it for years, but Siri took a different approach and a different, more serious approach in about 1994, when the board set up an advocacy committee or a public affairs committee. And we did it in response to the changes in health service in the province and the regionalization and the role that Bethany was playing and how, with the regionalization structure, looking at how we were going to, you know, make a difference in terms of advocating for better services and change services and improve services. What could we do? Because we seem to be stymied with this regional health authority now that had been put in between government and ourselves. So we started out by a lot of discussion at the committee, first of all, and then started publishing a series of discussion papers. We had a number of workshops and conferences, much like this, where people of common interest got together to discuss particular issues. And one of the things that came out of that, interestingly, was the continuing need, the expression of we need to have forums for people to get together to talk about like issues. We don't have time to do it. You know, this is great. Sometimes we run out of time to organize them as well. But we got into it because of that. And out of those discussions, those discussion papers and the dialogue, we found that we then had some positions to take forward to government, to take to the MLAs and say, this is what we're hearing. These are some of the questions that are being raised. What are you going to do about them? And so we had, and I guess the other thing that we did, we tried to frame it in a way that was constructive, so that it wasn't just negative. And talk to MLAs, talk to politicians, and they get very defensive in terms of just a negative position, in terms of we don't like this, we don't like the environmental rules, or we don't like, go off into a number of things, but. So we tried to frame it in a way that challenged their thinking. Say, is there another way? Is there a different way? Raising some questions, presenting some options. Sometimes the questions were a bit embarrassing, but it also, I think, sparked some interest. One of the things that we learned is within government, new ideas are not going to come often from within the government structure. I worked in the government structure, as did Dawn. But there are limits around what people will accept as new ideas within that structure. But coming at it from outside, you can throw all sorts of things at the politicians, all sorts of challenges. And so I think it's an opportunity in many ways, because to shape the dialogue and shape the discussion by coming forward with other options that might not seem acceptable within the system, you're coming at it from outside the system. So what are those? The other thing out of that, and we've seen some interesting response from government as we've done that. And some of the things, and it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, if you get into the advocacy areas, I've learned, you can put your position forward today, but it may be 5 years before you see the outcome. You know? So it's a long-term investment. But it also, what we've also seen, and partly I think out of the work that Bethany did, is it sparked interest in other organizations. And we now have seen other industry organizations that are taking up the advocacy role in terms of, particularly in our area of interest, seniors healthcare and seniors housing. So areas, organizations like the Long-Term Care Association, the Christian Health Association, the Alberta Seniors Housing Association have picked up issues that are being much more proactive in advocating for services in their areas. The other thing that we've learned out of this is the whole thing is about dialogue and partnerships. You have to keep talking to people. You've got to be out there. You've got to continually be networking. And while we've had some, I think we've done well in terms of dialoguing with other people in the industry and in the health sector and common interest in health and housing, it's interesting we haven't been able to get a breakthrough into the faith community in establishing a real relationship with the church communities. And I don't know why that is, because we've tried on a number of occasions. So I throw it out to this group as a bit of a challenge. If faith-based healthcare is important in this province, how is the larger faith community going to support that? Because from government point of view, quite frankly, sometimes we're just a pain. So it would be easier to get rid of us. So if it's important in the value structure and the culture of our province, then I think there's a challenge in terms of how that is supported. Supported not necessarily financially, supported morally, supported through advocacy. In terms of our advocacy activities, I think it's a few lessons. Sometimes it's number one. Sometimes it's scary to be out in front. You wonder if anybody else is back there. We've learned to avoid the issue of particularly dealing with politicians, of negativism and criticism. It doesn't work well. You need to promote change, different ways of thinking, different ideas, present options, question existing. And that is more effective in getting people, getting new thinking going. And then finally, I want to talk briefly about why we should all be concerned. And after listening to Nuala Kenny last night, I'm a bit intimidated. She presented reasons and arguments much more articulately than I can. But I do think there are some important issues that we need to face, and some big issues, and they're not easy answers. They're not simple solutions. We don't talk very much these days about a thing called a civil society. We used to take courses in school called civics. Gives a bit of background, a bit of grounding in terms of what a good citizen was. We don't do that anymore. And I think we see it in things like, as mentioned again by Dr. Swan, participation in the political process. I have a daughter in high school. Most of the kids don't even know who the premier is. There's a group, a small group of them that are keen. They're interested in politics. They're interested in debate club and various things like that. But she's been, most of her classmates, she's just amazed at their lack of interest and lack of knowledge. We have to change that. That's the basis of our society. It's the basis of going forward. So how do we engage people? And I think, frankly, the church community needs to seriously consider this. How is the church community engaged in promoting civil society? The churches, and I have to borrow from Jean Morris on this. I remember her chatting with her one day, and she said, churches do a great job of teaching and preaching, but the ministry side of the work is kind of shrunk off to the side a bit. And there's a lot of ministry that goes on in churches, I know, but But in terms of healthcare, a lot of that's been left off now to the secular government system, that they'll take care of us. Well, that's the illness side of things. Yeah, government is, you know, is doing the medical side. What about health, the healing, as Debbie talked about? That's where most of the activity is, on the healing side and on the caring side. So how do we reinvigorate that within the church community? Question, I guess, for us all. Why in this wealthy city, in this wealthy province, do we have more homeless than anywhere else? We have the lowest minimum wage. It's going up a little bit. We have more VLTs. We have high accident rates. And we have, in large part, a struggling voluntary sector, struggling to find money to do the jobs that they think need to be done in our community. And yet we're the wealthiest province in the world. I don't have an answer, but I have questions. Finally, I guess, is the whole issue of, I want to leave, because we've learned this from our advocacy activities too, is the issue of media. And the media, like everything these days, is under-resourced. There are reporters these days that don't have a focus, they don't have a background. Knowledge of the system is that there's a group of reporters for the Calgary Herald that come in every morning, and they sit down with the editor, and he says, Jane, you're going there, Sue, you're going there, Joe, you're going there, and wherever. And so that's their assignment for today. Go get a story on this. Yesterday they may have been dealing with the environment. Today they're dealing with the hospital sector. Tomorrow they might be dealing with public health. And tomorrow, the day after that, with slaughterhouses. They have no background. We used to have reporters that would focus in a particular area, whether it was environmental issues or healthcare issues or education issues. I don't have that anymore. So the people coming in as reporters are coming in blind, and they've got 10 minutes to get their story and get out. So that's what you're getting out of the news media. The challenge for faith communities, for not-for-profit organizations, is to learn how to use that. You've got 10 minutes. How do you get your story across? And not to do it in a reactive way. Try not to do it in a reactive way, but to get out in front. What's the story coming? How do we get out, or how do we shape the agenda, get out and get our stories into the media? So, we had a board member at Bethany who used to be a politician at one point, and when we were starting up our advocacy committee, we had a lot of discussion around the committee and the board. How would we know if we're successful? His comment as a politician was, you'll know you're successful when the media comes to you whenever there's an issue. Some days I think we're too successful. Anyway, it's not always comfortable, but being out in front, we do get a chance to present our story. And I think just in closing, I think as churches and congregations and faith communities like Bethany and Bethany's and Good Samaritan Society and various others around the province, we've got an opportunity to work together on issues of social justice. We've got opportunities to work together through events like this, where we can stop, we can dialogue. This is, in a way, as Dr. Swan said, silence. We can stop and reflect out of our busy day-to-day activities. We can talk about the things that are important to us. So, thank you. I've likely gone over time. Appreciate your attention, and hope that had some coherence. Thanks.